Welcome back to His Time. It is Friday, January 17th, 8:45 Central Standard Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and it is time for Creation Club with Pastor Wirth. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm frozen.
Frozen? Did they not turn on the heat?
Oh, no, I'm doing just fine. I'm just kidding. It's a little cold out there, but it's nice and cozy here in the studio.
That's good.
What do you have for us? Big news with this big debate coming up, right?
Yes, there's a big debate coming up between Ken Ham at Answers in Genesis and Bill Nye, the Science Guy. The debate will be on Tuesday, February 4th, at the Creation Museum at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They're going to live stream it so we can see it here also where we are, and it will be free. So those who want to live stream it will be absolutely free, and the way they can do that is they can go to it's debatelive.com. Let's see. I have it right here. debatelive.org. DebateLive, that's debatelive.org. It'll be absolutely free of charge and also high definition. So
wow.
They're encouraging schools, churches, and other public venues, as well as individuals in their own homes, to live stream this debate. We'll be talking more about that. So if anybody's listening from Old Concordia Seminary or the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center who is really into technology and knows how to organize things, maybe we could have public showings at those locations as well as in our churches mm-hmm. and homes to encourage people to see this debate. And the topic of the debate will be, is creation a viable model of origins in today's modern scientific era? So that'll be Tuesday, February 4th. 7 p.m. Eastern Time, that would be 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. We hope people will pay attention to this debate. It will be important.
Absolutely. What were those times? It's Tuesday, February 4th. At what time again?
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Okay, very good. So it'll be an evening event.
Right.
Excellent. And it's going to be quite the debate, I'm certain. They've got some... I just went to the website to check it out. It looks like they're getting all geared up. It's going to be quite an event. And you said they sold out tickets for the live presentation right there at the Creation Museum. They sold those out in, what, five
minutes?
2 minutes?
Yeah, in 2 minutes they sold out all their seats there. And for people who are interested in financial support of this event, they can make donations to answersingenesis.org, or they can go to answersingenesis.org and order the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to make a DVD of this, and you can pre-order, and the sales of the DVDs will also help to finance this undertaking.
Very good. Very good. Anything else about the debate that... anything else we should do to prepare for it?
Not at this time.
Okay.
We'll hear more about it between now and then.
All right. Excellent. Well, what else do you have for us today in Creation Club, Pastor Wirth?
Well, our friend Rod Swanitzer had sent me something that he found online at the Huffington Post.
Fish with legs.
Fish with legs. Ancient fish with legs. Tetalec rosier may be missing evolutionary link, says the headline. It's interesting because they trot this out like it's brand new and really... isn't, and it's already been thoroughly answered by our friends at Answers in Genesis. Particularly, Dr. David Manton has written several articles addressing all the hype. You know, every time you come up with something on the evolutionary front, the other side hypes it and exaggerates things. But once you sort through and say, well, let's look at this. Let us see the fossil. Let us see the actual evidence and sort out fact from fiction. And there's a heaping helping of fiction and very little fact. And so, this is another one of those. The article from Live Science, also quoted in the Huffington Post, says that the closest known relative of the ancestors of limbed animals, such as humans, likely evolved the foundation for rear legs even before the move to land, researchers say. This ancestor may have been able to walk underwater, they added. The findings reveal that a key step in the evolution of hind limbs happened in fish, challenging previous theories that such appendages evolved only after the move to land. Scientists investigated fossils of a 375-million-year-old fish known as Tetalec rosier, discovered in 2004 in northern Canada's Ellesmere Island. Possessing a broad, flat head and sharp teeth, it resembled a cross between a fish and a crocodile, growing to a length of 9 feet. as it hunted for prey in shallow, fresh water. This ancient creature was undoubtedly a fish, possessing gills, scales, and fins. However, it also had features seen in modern tetrapods, four-limbed creatures like amphibians, reptiles, and so on. And it said it had a mobile neck and a robust rib cage. This extinct fish had large fore fins and shoulders, elbows, partial wrists, they claim, that will go there, enabling it to support itself on ground. Well, actually, it didn't. And so right there, I mean, they're falsifying the evidence. They go on in this same article to talk about examining some parts of the fossil that they had not examined so closely before. And as they carefully removed the fossils from the rock, they found that these fossils were very fragile, and they said it contained hips as well as a partial pelvic fin material. And so that really surprised them. But then if you keep reading, it goes on to say the hip of the Tiktaalik was still clearly fish-like.
Fish-like hips.
Right. And for instance, whereas early tetrapod pelvic girdles are split into three parts, the hip of the Tiktaalik was undivided. Still, the increased size, mobility, and robustness of the pelvic girdle, hip joint, and fin would have made walking underwater possible as well as swimming. And then later on, the article says it remains uncertain how the hind appendages of this earliest limbed vertebrates were used. Were they used to walk, swim, or both? So they're stating things as fact that really they're overstating their case. Anybody who has questions on this, Dr. David Menton has several articles that he wrote that you can find at the answersingenesis.org website on walking fish, and he explains this thoroughly. Basically, what you've got here is a fossil example of a fish that is in some ways similar to some living fish today, the lungfish and the coelacanth. Let's talk about the coelacanth, because this was something that evolutionists had trotted out in the past as an example of a fish that was going to evolve into four-legged land creatures. And they thought that they had been extinct since the time of the dinosaurs. They thought that coelacanths were extinct for 65 million years because the only examples we had back until the 1930s were in the fossil record. But then, lo and behold, they found that they were caught. They're still living. And there are still living examples of the coelacanth. And you know what? If it was supposed to have evolved 65 million years ago, something went wrong because it's still out there and it's still swimming and it looks exactly like the fossil ones. And it hasn't evolved at all. It doesn't walk at all. It didn't evolve into a land creature. And even in the water, it swims. It does not walk. It's a lobed finned fish, which is unusual in some ways, but it doesn't have legs. And what they call legs in their article, because this is wishful thinking on the part of those who want to believe the evolution fairy tale, they're actually lobed fins, which Dr. Menton explains have bones in them, but they are not attached to the central axis of the body, and they would not be able to support weight as land-dwelling animals do. So they don't have the connectedness of... they don't have toes. They have rays instead of toes. They don't have digits. And so the whole evolutionary scheme that they want people to believe, and they tell this, but when you actually examine the fossil evidence, it doesn't work out that way at all. Instead of having a fish with legs, you have a fish with fins. Lobed fins, but not unlike fish today that are still around, like the coelacanth and the lungfish, which also have these lobes and haven't evolved into land-dwelling animals either. And another thing that's interesting is having gills, its life was entirely in the water. So and being entirely in the water, it wouldn't have the need for weight-bearing limbs nor any evolutionary pressure for that for them to evolve, if that were even possible. Because here again, our good friends at Answers in Genesis point out there is no scientifically known mechanism for increasing the genetic information in an organism so that it can sprout new systems or new organs or new appendages and turn fins into legs or arms into wings with feathers and stuff like this. That's evolutionary wishful thinking. It's like a fairy tale. Mm-hmm. There's no genetic way for that to happen. Again, Dr. Menton does an excellent job in his articles explaining that this is a special kind of fish that that lived a long time ago, and we have a fossil remains of it. There are interesting specialized fish today that actually, some of them can breathe air. Some of them can, they call them walking fish, like the walking catfish, but they don't walk with legs. What they do is they flop around on their bellies, and they can use their pectoral fins to kind of scoot along, but it's not like legs where they actually bear weight on them. In fact, there's even a kind of fish existing today that breathes air and can climb trees.
That's frightening. That?
That is astonishing. And yet, evolutionists are not claiming that they are evolving into four-legged land-dwelling animals. You know, they're clearly fish that are specialized fish that are interesting examples of God's creative variety, but they're still fish. They're not land animals, and they're not evolving into anything else.
Do you know what my pressing question is about these fish with legs?
What's that?
Do they taste good? some fried fish legs. Doesn't that just sound good? Fried fish legs. With about a minute left, Pastor Worth, anything about the Science Daily article on Artie with just about a minute?
Okay. It's going to take more than a minute to talk about it. Maybe we can visit this again.
But next week.
Another example of them exaggerating. The Science Daily article makes it sound like that they found this Artie fossil and that now they've confirmed that it actually belongs to the line of human ancestors. And when the Answers in Genesis people walk you through the actual fossil evidence, it's a hoax. You have people, I mean, there actually is a fossil, but they highly hype and exaggerate what is found, and they take things that are completely fragmented, and then they try to reconstruct something using 99% speculation with just a little bit of actual hard evidence, and the rest is estimated and exaggerated, and well, what if this and what if that, to try to make it seem more human-like. And that's generally the thing with the ape-to-man fossils and evolution. What they do is they take an ape fossil to say, mm-hmm. make it seem more human-like. They take human fossils to make them seem more ape-like so they can tell their story that doesn't have a basis in fact or in the Bible. And so we want to be sure that people understand that the Bible is true, especially with this message about Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen. Well, let's come back to that story next week. Thanks so much, Pastor Worth.
God bless.
God's blessings to you, too. Coming up in the next hour, we'll join together for morning prayer. Stick around for more right here on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.